and welcome to this episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. I'm your host, Shrini Patsadi, and I'm joined by my co-host, Venkat. The IPL, it's in full swing now. You know, it's week three, and the table is slightly starting to take shape. While I have a look at the table. Hello, Venkat, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, Shrini. How about you?
Yes, good. The summer is also beginning to, like, you know, the county season has started, so our English summer is also starting to take shape, I guess. We'll be out playing in the next week or so.
Yeah, it is. Looking forward to the start of cricket season. It's going to be quite hectic. And we are already looking at teams coming in. And most importantly, I'm looking forward to the India tour or the India one-off series against England.
There's probably not much happening in the overall kind of world of cricket. There's probably only one test series that just finished, the South Africa and Bangladesh. It's all about the IPL. We'll take a look in detail about the eight or so games in the IPL this past week. As we record this, Sunrisers Hyderabad have just beaten Gujarat Titans with five balls remaining. It's an 8-wicket victory. We'll talk about that in a bit. In fact, we'll look at the rest of what's happening in the world of cricket in terms of news. I mentioned the South Africa Bangladesh series. I didn't watch the game. I didn't follow it at all. I literally just saw the scorecard this morning, and I was surprised. I was thinking, for a moment I thought it was looking at the week one the test one scorecard, looking at again Simon Harmer and Maharaj bowling, and, you know, Maharaj picking 7 wickets and Simon Harmer 3 wickets. Bangladesh bowled out for 80 in the fourth innings. For a moment, I thought it was the same first test scorecard that I was looking. I had to go back and double check. I don't know, you know, whether that would have, how often that would have happened, even nation countries where just two spinners have bowled in the fourth innings, no other bowler being used. And that too in consecutive matches. It's probably happened a few times where a couple of spinners have just, you know, or just spinners have bowled in India and stuff. But in back-to-back matches, more importantly than India, you know, it'd be interesting to see if at all it, I think it's never happened in SENA countries.
Yeah. I think even when spin was utterly dominating, you will have somebody like locking up for two or three overs, if you know what I mean, if at all that is. Not in my memory. I mean, we can always use the stats that are available to see. But one of the things that we can see, if our Twitter friends, podcast listeners could chime in with any instances that they remember in two test matches where a pace bowler or even a medium pace bowler hasn't had any contribution at all, yeah. Not in a single ball.
It's interesting. The other interesting thing from that test was the first instance of the COVID substitution protocol being used in international cricket. We've got used to the idea. Now we've seen a few tests like where concussion subs were used. I mean, the most famous one that comes to mind is Manas Labuschagne for Steve Smith in the Ashes a couple of years ago. But this is the first time two South African players who tested positive for COVID-19 were withdrawn mid-game. And they were replaced by, would make a good pop quiz question, who were the first people to make COVID substitution, Kaya Zondo and Glenton Stoneman. The other thing probably to look about is, in terms of the news-wise, is like the ICC have just held a meeting. There's a number of things, you know, that came out of those meetings, but there was a couple of things I just was interested in having a chat about. One, in terms of the automatic entry for the 2024 Men's T20 World Cup, they've agreed, like, you know, I think it's going to be played in the West Indies and the US. There are going to be 20 teams that actually get qualified overall for the T20 World Cup. It'll follow the similar pattern that happens now, where 8 teams play for, I think, qualification, and then the top 10 or 4 come in from the other one. But this is going to be where 12 teams going to automatically go through.
Yeah.
Based on the top 8 from the World
Regular.
Cup in Australia later this year, and then a couple more. So that, to me, it's expanding. I think US and West Indies are the two other teams that get an automatic qualification in terms of that. It'd be interesting to see US in the T20.
Yes.
So that next year, 2024, another year next year, but the one afterwards, and it'll be a good tournament. Well, but we have to get past the first one in Australia this year. The other interesting news was neutral umpires returning to Test cricket.
I think there were some prompts from Bangladesh that I think that could have prompted the hastening of that decision.
Yeah, possibly. I think, but overall, they've gone for a compromise where they used to have like all three umpires were neutral umpires, and the match referee, so the two standing umpires, the third umpire, and the match referee was all neutral umpires. I think if I am right, they've gone for where there'll be one of the standing umpires will be neutral and one will be local. The third umpire will be a neutral umpire, and the match referee will be a neutral match referee. And they've done this only for Test cricket. For ODI, the entire setup, so the two referees, sorry, the two umpires, the third umpire, the fourth umpire, and the match referee, they're all going to be like home umpires. I think this is a good compromise where one of the local umpires gets the ability to stand in home games and also gain experience. And from an ODI perspective, the home umpires tend to gain experience and move into international test team. I
Yeah,
know.
it makes sense. It makes sense in test match because whatever decisions can hurt the qualification, whereas with ODIs, I think there is it's bilateral, so there is not a lot at stake. I mean, you could say that neutrality, but I think that's the compromise that they've gone for.
Yeah, I mean, so I think people like Simon Toffol, for example, when he was like on the ICC referee panel, he never managed to like stand for on an Ashes game between Australia and England because all of them were neutral umpires were being used. So this will kind of, for some of the English umpires and Australian umpires who play so much on Ashes, they will be able to stand in their home games, so it'll be good for them. So that's good news. I think it gives a development pathway for the national umpires as well, both in the test arena and the international arena.
Yeah, that's
So
right.
that's good. But that's probably a couple of things, we just wanted to have a look at the world of cricket overall. Let's move on to the IPL. I mean, before today's game between the Gujarat Titans and the SRH20 games had been completed, the table, as I said, starting to take shape. The most interesting aspect of the table for me is the two teams that you're usually used to seeing on the top of the table are sitting right at the bottom. So I think that's probably the best place for us to start from, talking about the two teams that are in the bottom of the table.
Who were really on the top last and one finished really at the top, but
Yeah,
it's
in general, if you would think, if someone was seeing the IPL table for the first time, never knew of any of the IPL teams, they would think, "Oh, MI and CSK must be the new teams that have joined into the top 10 this year," and hence, they are not up to the bottom of the league. Let's start with CSK. We'll look at MI in a minute. This podcast, being the yellow and blues and bias to CSK. Let's start with CSK. I don't know where to start with, whether to actually go through the game itself or and look at what SRH did and CSK, or whether we started where the auction itself. It's the auction's definitely completely gone wrong for CSK. I was talking, I think, during the week, with someone to say, not just looking at the auction, because there's the mega auction and just this year, but people like Dhoni, it's a one-off, Bravo, Raidu, people who will unlikely to play next season, possibly even like Robin Utapa, he may play another season, he may not play, depending on how his performance and things like that. There are four players there, you can almost see those are some
Exactly.
big shoes to fill next year. How CSK are going to do it, I have no idea.
Yeah. I think they should have either planned a transition. I mean, I'm not going to into postmortem. The series or IPL tables are no. It's not all over yet. I mean, there have been a lot of times. I think Mumbai one season lost like five of their games or four of their games exactly in the same position as we were. So I wouldn't write off CSK or Mumbai Indians yet. The matches are still in the infancy, but you would argue that yeah, it's not a good start. In my opinion, I think it's a team in transition. With as you rightly pointed out, Bravo may not play next season. Dhoni, I'm unsure. Yeah, it is. There's a lot of this thing. I don't know how much do you think, Srini, the leadership plays into this. Is there a change in the leadership that has prompted this loss? I don't know. We can discuss and debate in
I
our
mean, yeah, the leadership is one thing. For me, I said this in the last episode itself, where because we touched upon this, if Dhoni, CSK management, Jadeja, they all knew that Dhoni was going to hand it over. They had a ready-made replacement in Faf. They just had to retain Faf. It was as simple as that. Jadeja again. I don't blame him. In terms of I'm different people take leadership. In different ways.
Yeah.
Him. When we look at what he did before this IPL, playing for India, the form that he was in. It was just something different. Yeah, I'm not convinced. I still haven't. I know it might harsh. There's a couple of things. I posted on Twitter the other day about whether it's time to give Ruthraj a break. And I had someone come back to me, a couple of people come back to me and say it's harsh. The CSK approach is actually backing players, and I agree with that. And I fully agree. I'm not saying it's just time to like. That's the end of Ruthraj and stuff. I mean, to be honest, it, not the year, not the last year when Ruthraj really went and got the orange cap, but it was the year before when CSK were like finished at the bottom, almost at the bottom of the table. It was at the end, like the last 3 or 4 matches was when Ruthraj was bought into the when we knew that they were not going to make to the playoffs and stuff. Ruthraj got an opportunity, and then he played some wonderful games at those in the 2020, the back end of that, and then through 2021. So it's not like I'm saying drop him, but sometimes even a one game rest gets people to sort of rethink and come back. That's all. I was looking at it's also the fact you said MI have played 4 games, lost CSK 4 games, there is thing, but I disagree with that. With 8 teams, you only have got to sort of above you there are 3 or 4 teams and you've got to climb up, and therefore you can
Yeah,
make the playoff.
the good
Whereas
point.
with 10 teams, it's that much more different. Looking at the table as it stands right now, the top six, if you look at that, are all have 6 points. Yeah, the top five of them,
The top five today,
the top five as it stands have 6 points each, and they're only separated by 100. That tells you to go from here to get into that top four is will be nigh on impossible. No matter how well Mumbai play and how well Chennai, even if they win their next 10 games, you will still have to make allowances for the other five teams to lose huge. There's like
The
the
probability is
probability
good, yeah.
is kind of very, very difficult. They will have to lose a lot of games. The other teams, all of them will have to lose games. At this point in time, in other series, I would have still said, well, that's with 10 games to go, there is still a possibility that CSK, this time, I'm not so sure, Mumbai and CSK are going to make the playoff.
No, neither is Stephen Fleming. I think he said, "What is the concern?" He said, "Probably every facet is a concern." I think they have. I think Stephen Fleming, in his interview to CricBuzz, had admitted that, there is some nervousness and jitters in the squad. For winners, title winners last year, this is quite a deviation.
To me, you touched about the captaincy and the leadership. Now, while not to blame Jadeja as such, but it's one of those things that spreads into the entire team where the captaincy is changed at the last minute. Looking at the on-field, it still feels like Jadeja is the captain, but there are things that Dhoni is doing. Even if it's people kind of keep sort of looking that it's that sort of Kohli cam style, people look at Dhoni and think it's a little bit more, it's the first season, it's Jadeja might be doing things, but kind of the eye goes back to Dhoni and things like that, and that spreads across the team, when you have that kind of thing. So whether the it's just fully formed in an identity that Jadeja wants to. There is more to captaincy and more to the team formation, kind of the gelling and having the whole thing.
Yeah, that's a good point, Srini. And I also want to, kind of mention, has the leadership, well, non-playing leadership within CSK needs a refresh and a rethink. I think their strategy of backing people may have run its course, especially with them backing, as you said, Ambati Raidu, Bravo, and so on and so forth. Yeah, I think that may also be need to be reconsidered.
Yeah, it's like when the last sort of couple of years or so, leadership, yes, there was this big aura, big power of Dhoni and stuff, but you had people, be it Raina, Shane Watson, Faf du Plessis and all, they were leaders in their own right. They may not make bowling changes, go to Dhoni and stuff, but put them in kind of batting and stuff, that I don't think exists at the minute. Dhoni, he's coming way down the line to have much of an impact in terms of this. Moeen Ali, probably, yes, he's the one. And to be fair to him, he did perform against SRH, so he's got that that leadership role. But I don't know whether he's at the same level as a Faf du Plessis, an international captain with quite a bit of experience was. Shane Watson never a captain, but he played from the time he played for Rajasthan Royals, Australia, and CSK. He was one of the kind of would have been a leadership group sort of thing. I don't think people like Dwayne Bravo, Robin Uthappa, etc., are that there to sort of support Jadeja, so to speak. It's a difficult one. I was just kind of having a look to see just keeping an eye in terms of the other Tamil Nadu players. I know this is going back on kind of crying on spilt milk in terms of the auction is over, we didn't pick up and stuff. But you just look at players like Washington Sundar, Natarajan, Sai Kishore, Shah Rukh Khan, M. Ashwin,
Murugan Ashwin,
yeah, so on and so forth. It in terms of sort of not just the next generation, the youngsters, but getting in them would have. I know MI and CSK have got a big fan follow-up. There is this theory also going on. The poor performance of MI and CSK has seen significant ratings drop, television ratings drop for the IPL. And I think the more as it goes, if there's a couple more games that MI and CSK lose, and it becomes very obvious that they're not going to make the playoff, it will be interesting to see whether whether that takes the or keeps the ratings down, or the new teams pick up, and how the IPL responds to
Yeah,
that
I
would
think
be an
that's a
interesting
good
way to
point.
see.
That's a
So
good point. Chennai has been an ardent fan following, so has been Mumbai. It's a phenomenon. I think from what you say, yeah, let's wait and see how the television ratings answer that question.
Yeah. So, I know we didn't kind of specifically touch on the scores and things like that on this particular match. There was nothing, there was a, I think there was a tweet when the actual match was going on, this was like watching a test match, two teams sort of just playing defensive. So I am trying to rack my brain, in terms of thinking, well, that's a standout moment from this game, or a highlight, or that's something different. I just can't think of anything, as such. Abhishek Sharma's performance, probably
75.
75, that might be the one, from a Sunrisers perspective. Moin got his 48, but really
Yeah, mine did.
that was just holding the innings. They literally limped to 154 for seven.
Natarajan bowled really well in that game. I remember that ball sneaking in. That's brilliant bowling. I mean, it was tough. It was like watching Wasim Akram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's. I think it's. They may probably not think of that. CSK might still publicly say, like, no, there is still, there's a mathematical, as you said, mathematical possibility to make the
Yeah.
playoff exists, etc. But my view, it's as a passionate fan follower, you'd say, well, we trust our team, the team will go through to the playoffs and stuff. But if you think about it objectively, I think it might feel like, we're giving up early on this, but just with 10 teams, as I said, with 10 teams in place, I can't see, like, how they will make it.
I think, yeah, just to close out on that one, Srini, just before I think we have to look at Mumbai Indians as well. But from my point of view, even if they don't win, all you want to see as fans is putting up a good fight and playing the game with the right spirit, of course. But even if they are table disruptors, I think that would be really heartening to see. We all understand it's a team in transition. It will take time to settle down, but let's see how it goes.
Yeah, so that's that for I guess CSK. Yeah, you mentioned, like, MI. Let's look at MI. They played a couple of games, lost both of them, one to KKR and one to RCB. Let's probably start with the KKR game. More than MI, I think it's more will be remembered as the Pat Cummins game.
Yeah, he came straight
It's
from Pakistan series and just blitzed.
that onslaught of 56, in 15 balls. In fact, it's the joint fastest IPL 50, I think, with KL Rahul in 14 balls. Yeah, at about 13, 14 overs, you would think the game, by the way, it's blowing. It was even Stevens. They had lost 5 wickets, KKR, and it was more things. He just completely blew them. He took Daniel Sams apart for like a 35 run over. I mean, another run and it would have been like a 36, kind of, maybe not necessarily a 6 out of 6, but
Six out of six, but
it would have been.
yeah, that changes the dynamics, isn't it? Pat Cummins won them the game. He knows. Yeah, he didn't bowl well that game. I think he had 50 runs, something, 49-2 for. But yeah, he didn't bowl well, but he did make it up with bat, and so he scored more than the runs he gave.
4 overs for 49 he went for that game, and then he came and scored. I mean, Venkatesh Iyer, he held one, and he was actually, during the game, I was saying to somebody that the two contrast, when at the end there was Pat Cummins and Venkatesh Iyer. I might be remembering this wrong, but I think Pat Cummins scored the 50 before Venkatesh Iyer, or It must have been a one
Just
volley,
after, I
and
think, isn't it? Just
yeah,
after, but yeah.
it's like he was there right from the beginning, right from the first over. I said to someone, it's taken 16 overs. I was just saying, 16 overs for Venkatesh Iyer to get to 50, whereas it just took like 14 balls for Pat Cummins to get to his 50.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but they had different roles to on balance. Venkatesh Iyer held the innings together. I think he played some good shots from what I remember of watching that game. It was good. But yeah, what do you? I mean, coming back to the captaincy, is Rohit Sharma. Do you think his batting is affecting his captaincy? I saw not only in that game, but the game after as well, MI versus RCB. Bumrah was getting hammered. I've never seen that. I know the odd boundary, but what do you place that in terms of? I mean, Rohit Sharma being not clicking with the bat, or is it the collective thing? I know Rohit Sharma is slightly more reserved in his expression, but even I saw him a bit unsettled in some of these games.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? He obviously, now that he's captain of India in all formats, and that captaincy was based on the basis that of what he had done at MI, having won so many multiple IPL trophies, and it was on the back of that that he got the white ball in terms of T20 captaincy after the World Cup and then the ODI and then the Test. So unlike Jadeja that we talked about, I don't think suddenly Rohit's become a bad captain or he doesn't have the captaincy. He's obviously done it for so much for MI, and whether it's they have the similar problem as CSK, I don't know, in the sense of people like Pollard, Rohit himself not really firing. Those were gun plays for them.
Losing Pandya.
The Pandya, both the Pandya brothers. I mean, Trent Bolt's moved on as well. I know they got in again their auction. When you looked at the auction, when they went in and got in Jofra Archer, Ishan Kishan, you looked at it and thought, yeah. I mean, the first two games I was like thinking, well, okay, Sky's not available. That might be like affecting their balance. Ishan Kishan did a cup played well in the first couple of games, but he's not quite fired the same way. He's done okay, but not quite fired the same way as the first two games. Rohit's not really fired at all in all four games. He's got some 20 in a couple of games probably, but not really again. Sky, Suryakumar Yadav, he came back after his injury, missing the first two games. In the last two games, he's really, really got 52 in the game against KKR, and then 68. That essentially held and took them to a total. Against RCB, they to me it feels like the Jofra, I don't think the Jofra Archer thing matters in any sense in this tournament, because they knew right at the time when they went for him the auction that he was not going to be available this year. So it's not like he came in, got injured, and suddenly it's affected the dynamics, or it's not that's almost like a red herring kind of thing. Whether I think Ishan Kishan, the way they went in and kind of it made sound during the auction that the team was kind of the future team was going to be built around him, and that's why they really went in for him. I don't know what that says, because he can't remember now, whether the price that Ishan Kishan was just under, I think it was just literally under what the price that Rohit Sharma was retained for, so it wasn't quite over it. So there's those things. To me, it feels like maybe the new team is not quite gelling in the sense. Again, I know the mega auction, because the teams kind of get jigged quite a bit. It can sometimes take time for a team to build, but it definitely feels like both the teams didn't quite plan the auction in terms of building a team. I mean, we'll look at it later on. Some tactical things, some of the other teams have done, in terms of how they've built the teams with the number of all-rounders, etc. We'll probably talk about LSG in a bit. This one, I can't, to be honest, I really can't put my finger on what's ailing MI at the minute, other than the fact, like, Rohit Pollard not firing in batting, you know, Bumrah in bowling, etc. But the team does seems like, you know, quite a bit dismantled in terms of, you know, Hardik Pandya moving, Krunal Pandya, Trent Bolt, etc. It's well, maybe, you know, this year may not be for MI and CSK, and they will lead. They obviously can't get a complete reset next year because there is not going to be another mega auction for at least a few years. So it'll have to be like, you know, an organical growth. Maybe whether they both of the teams, CSK and MI, once they realize that they're not going to make the playoffs, start to bring in their other youngsters and things like that, and they fire and then they build. We missed. I said this last podcast, but I'll probably say it again. The number of uncapped Indian players, those, you know, who played in the under-19s, etc. This IPL has really been all about them. There is so many of them. You know, I just mentioned in terms of people like Murugan Ashwin, Sai Kishore, Shah Rukh Khan, etc. We touched like, you know, people like Tilak Varma, Badoni, and those sort of things. You know, I think Rajwardhan Hungarekar for Chennai. I hope, like, you know, they give him an opportunity at some point, you know, play a few games and see what he can do. You know, this just might be like, you know, easier in terms of that. And similarly for Mumbai, whether it's they give opportunity to Arjun Tendulkar, etc. Like, no, it's just if they know that they're not going to really reach this might be too early, you know, but give the end of next week, where they've got a couple more games, you know, they've got to start winning. But if either of them don't win both their games, then it becomes like, no, well, we can't make it to the playoffs, so it's time to
Clearly. I think
give.
if you lose, yes, 6 or 7 games, I think it would be curtains, definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on, you know, we were just talking about the MI versus RCB. Let's look at the other game that RCB placed versus Rajasthan Royals. RCB are, I think, on fourth in the table, having won 3 out of their 4 games.
RCB, I think, are third in the table. They've lost one, they have won three.
Yeah,
And they
they've.
are slightly, they are, I mean, as we said already, because of the net run rate is where the difference is, but everybody is on 6 points. Top five teams on six. The next three teams are on
They,
four.
I think at the beginning of just when we started recording the podcast, they were actually in fourth. But the fact that Gujarat Titans lost
Lost.
today, their net run rate's kind of taken a dip, and which is why they've dropped down and RCB moved in. It just shows, like, you know, how quickly, by the time we
Things
start
could
recording a podcast and finishing it, the table's changed a bit. Well, it might also be in terms of how long we're taking to record the podcast, but yeah, Royal Challengers have moved up to third. I mean, we talked about, like, you know, sort of the game against MI and Kohli, 48 again. He seems to be like sort of firing back in. It's still, I don't know. I mean, I haven't figured out Kohli where he is at this tournament so far. It's like, you know, he's not got the captaincy. He just seems to be not quite what we hoped in terms of, right, without any captaincy pressures, he'll just go on a run rampage sort of thing. It's not been like that. It's just been okay for him, you know, getting along, I suppose, and going under the radar. As long as RCB win, the focus now is predominantly on Faf. The other game, as we were just talking about, the RCB versus RR game, you know, that one, Josh Butler scored a good 70, you know, but it was more a Dinesh Karthik game, I think. He
Yes, it is.
absolutely took Ashwin to town.
Yeah, that's what's really surprising. I mean, he immediately launched, I think, the first ball, if I'm not wrong, just down the wicket and hit him for a six. That I clearly remember, and he didn't stop. You know, Ashwin is a canny bowler. I think that performance really stands out for me in that game, as to how, DK played, Dinesh Karthik played.
It's Dinesh Karthik, you know, again, he's one of those who's moved around quite a bit in IPL, having played for different franchises. He seems to have found a home at Bangalore this year. You know, it's his quite number of knocks in the four games. It's been it's come it's almost like, you thought, oh yeah, looks like, RCB are losing. DK has come back and pulled them out of it. That over you're talking about for Ashwin, I think he took Ashwin for almost 21 runs. Before that
Wow.
sort of 3 overs, Ashwin had just gone for 18.
Yeah.
That over he took him like for 21. So it's RCB seem to be the
RCB
dark
are
horses.
definitely looking with a like a team in which has a belief and aren't an easy team to win. They have got really good, especially when you have Jos Buttler scoring 70. So Shahbaz Ahmed, we can't forget. I mean, he played a pivotal role in that chase. So yeah, you can't. I mean, of course, DK closed the game, but Shahbaz was equally. I mean, he helped accelerate that game. So that also stands out for me.
Yeah, that's a good point now in terms of Shahbaz Ahmed's contributions. Just going on, kind of moving on, talking about RR, the other game that they played was against LSG, Lucknow Super Giants. This game, will obviously be remembered. Rajasthan Royals won. However, the one thing that this will be remembered for is Ashwin's retired out. I think it's the first time ever Batman retired out in IPL. This game was like a complete tactical battle. Even when the game was on, I was talking to somebody and saying, like, I wondered why Ashwin came ahead of Ryan Parag when Ryan Parag's supposed to be the hitter. They brought in Ashwin, and Ashwin he played okay. He was doing what he was there. You know Ashwin to be more like a technically sort of correct or
Yeah.
batsman from the school of Mahila Jayawardene rather than from a Jos Buttler or Adam Gilchrist school, if you like. So there was a reason why they promoted him. And then, like, with what I think it was about 8 balls to go, probably.
Wasn't yeah, I think was it 8 balls? Yeah, he did yeah, he did it in the 19th over.
Yeah, so those 6, 8 balls I think left, and he just ran away, and like suddenly people were like, what's happening here? And apparently, from what I've subsequently read, it seems like this was pre-decided, and he had fully bought in. I mean, expect stuff like this from Ashwin. We know, watching his YouTube videos and everything else, he really thinks about the game from a bowling perspective. When he ran out Jos Buttler. And all of the runouts that he had as a bowler and stuff like that. He doesn't.
Yeah,
He's innovative with the game, and so.
trendsetter. But see, the thing is, it's perfectly within the laws. I think Marylebone Cricket Club also went on
No.
that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I agree. No, I'm just kind of saying about the innovativeness in terms of, from Ashwin. He's generally innovative with the game, in terms of thinking. And so this kind of, it's not a surprise that the tactical sort of, being retired
Yeah.
out, he's been involved in that, in terms of that.
I think most T20 leagues now, teams are now going to do that, because it gives, so somebody goes, if he's not into this thing, if he or she is not able to get bat on balls, we all have bad days, they are going to be forced to retire out, given the circumstances, because wickets in hand really don't mean anything. It's not a test match. And so I completely agree. We do that all the time in our
Yeah, we
club.
do that all the time, but I know this is the first time in the IPL. I was trying to scratch my head to think of, there's been number of retired hurts in international cricket, but I can't think of a play time where somebody actually retired out because they couldn't get bat on ball. I mean, this in this particular context, I don't think it made that much of a difference. Ryan Parag came in and scored 8 out of 4 balls and got out. Maybe this is the first time it's happened. If Ashwin had played those 4 balls, he may have scored that 8 runs. It wouldn't have made that much of a difference. But it's a precedent that's set, and yes, you'll see this, more often. I think, as you say, within the IPL and within leagues, again, all this talk about matchups and things like that go on. This is another one where they'll suddenly see that a particular bowler has come to bowl, and if they think this is a batsman that can take him down, then they'll probably get somebody to retire out if they can and do it. So it'd be interesting to see how
Yeah.
this thing pans out. There was an article also, like, you know, I don't know if you get a chance to read. So in terms of, you know, talking about, I mentioned earlier about tactical things like that. Lucknow Super Giants, you know, they picked in the auction many all-rounders, and they actually had, like, you know, I think five or six all-rounders playing in this game.
Yeah.
And a couple of them didn't even bowl, like, you know, Huda didn't bowl, and another one. So it again seems to be like, you know, there's a lot more. Rahul mentioned, like, you know, he didn't think Huda was the right bowler to bowl because so and so was batting. The
Yeah.
whole concept of matchup around, like, you know, who to bowl, left arm to right arm, left arm
Yeah.
batsman, right arm batsman, that is now being taken to, like, you know, real nth degree, where to say, like, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's a tactical thing, you know, going back to, like, you know, the CSK games as well. Moeen Ali has just bowled one over in most of the matches. Now, I don't know if that's tactical or they're just not quite there with his bowling, but it seems like, you know, teams are
Yeah.
thinking, like, you know, well, we'll have multiple bowlers and somebody is only bowling one over because they bowled well against a particular batsman. So therefore, like, you know, we'll go and bowl them or just for that one over. And there are things like those, you know, tactically being thinking. One other thing to pick up on this game was, you know, Yuzvendra Chahal's 4 for. When
I
they.
remember that. Yeah, it was tough bowling conditions. I think he bowled a googly and got a wicket. Yeah, he was good that game. I remember he bowled with real intent, you could see, and he set one batsman up really very well. He got hit for a six. He didn't fluster. He just bowled closer to him. I think to his pads, and the batter just hit it in the boundary and was caught. I think I remember that tactical play for that particular game.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously got, using the Charles, got the purple cap at the minute in terms of 11 wickets. And more interesting thing for me on that is, like, you know, out of the top six, I think it may have changed now, but when I saw it, you know, yesterday, four of the six were leg spinners.
Yeah.
In terms of most wickets, there was Yuzi Chahal, there was Kuldeep Yadav, I think Wanindu Asranga might be the other one, and Rahul Chahar. Again, another one, and to throw in terms of CSK, haven't even got a single leg spinner in their ranks.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things,
Perplexing.
but perplexing. You know, you would think, like, you know, with the amount of dew and everything else, spinners will probably be taken to the cleaners, but, you know, to see, like, leg spinners.
Yeah.
The even bigger one, you know, a lot of people kept saying this about during the auction and stuff, like, you know, how on earth did Adil Rashid not get picked up by any of the team?
Yeah, that's a bit of a surprise.
You look at this and kind of think, like, you know, hang on, what's the thinking there in terms of, but I hope it's a surprised thing. Right, let's move on. Who's well, we're talking about the RR versus LSG, isn't it? Let's look at kind of the other game that Lucknow Super Giants played, which was with Delhi. They beat Delhi convincingly, I thought. Like, you know, Delhi, well, we'll talk about Delhi, you know, there are a couple of games, this one and the other one around KKR. But yeah, when in that game, you know, Prithvi Shaw really went hammer and tongs right at the beginning, you know, scoring 61 of 34. David Warner, though, he couldn't buy her, and he just come back. It was his first game in the IPL, coming back from
Yeah,
Pakistan.
he played nearly three, two overs for 4 runs. So that's how I look at it. Yeah, not great. And I think Powell as well, in that game, I think they ate up too many deliveries, if you ask me. Yeah, 10 balls for three and 12 balls, like nearly you're talking about 4 overs for 7 runs. Going to probably lose a T20 game.
It's yeah, And I think again in that game, Bishnoi, another leg spinner, Bishnoi and Krishnappa Gautam, they choked properly, like you know, Delhi. Surprising after the way Prithvi Shaw went, Bishnoi and Krishnappa Gautam went for under 6 runs in terms of economy. So, and then once they had only scored 149, it was fairly simple. And you know, Rishabh Pant managed again. There's another enigma in terms of Rishabh Pant. We were talking about him pre-IPL, the form that he was in. Don't know. I mean, this will be interesting, something for us to go away and have a look at and see, like, you know, whether all of the people who played those games for India before the IPL, you know, and in high form. I mean, I'm just trying to think, you know, off my top of my head in terms of Shreyas Iyer as well. Well, we'll have a look at the next game, the DC versus KKR, and I think Shreyas Iyer scored a 50 in that. But again, at the beginning, we said, like, you know, Shreyas Iyer could be in the form he was in. He would probably go with the orange cap, but he's really not done anything at all. Be an interesting thought to see whether the players that were playing for India in T20 tests before, just have a look at their performance in the IPL in the first few games.
Mental fatigue probably straining. I mean, we could research and to see if there are any patterns that we can pick up.
But anyway, in this particular game, you know, De Kock finally decided to come to the party, scoring 80 of
80.
52 balls.
Yeah, he's got 80, didn't he?
And then the new Dhoni in town at the minute, you know, Ayush Bodhoni, he decided to close it off by scoring like 10 of 3 balls.
From what I see, it's too early, but his shots are like really well timed.
He seems to be like, you know, very, very confident.
Yeah, that's
So
one thing that stands out as well. Even in this, yeah, you go back to Sachin and too far-fetched comparison, but youngsters who played really well, they always had that air of uncertainty, but this guy doesn't seem to have that. But that's true with all new players because they already are in the setup for so long,
yeah.
so they kind of pick up those vibes automatically.
The other game, you know, we've been talking about DC in terms of their, you know, they kind of Lucknow Super Giants choked them. Then the other game, DC versus KKR, this was yesterday's game where KKR were like brought down to earth after Pat Cummins his onslaught against Mumbai. DC brought KKR down to earth, but DC scored like the highest total of this IPL, 215. Again, Prithvi Shaw and Warner decided, like, you know, for him after the first game where he was like scratching around, Shaw and Warner scored a shed load of runs, you know, 50 and 60 each. But once Shaw was out, you know, it looked like Delhi, I thought they were probably going to get to somewhere like 170, 180. They were just middling around when Warner got out in the 17th over. I think they were 160 or something. And from there to score 50 runs in the last 3 overs, you'd think there must have been some big hitter. The Lord Shardul Thakur and Akshar Patel decided to, like, you know.
Another one who could have played for CSK this
Yeah.
season.
Just another one, you know, who will let go. They're all going everywhere and sort of showing, like, you know, their value. Once they got to 250, it was game over for KKR. I just didn't think KKR would get. I mean, I mentioned Shreyas a minute ago. He scored a 50, 54, and then, you know, he had a partnership with Nitish Rana. But beyond that, there was nothing. KKR were always struggling. I mentioned leg spinners, you know, Kuldeep Yadav. He got his 4-4, and that was that. You know, Delhi had a big win by about 40 runs. That kind of, you know, was the other games. The last two games to look at is, like, you know, Gujarat Titan games, one against Punjab Kings and SRH, which just finished before as we started recording this podcast. The Gujarat Titan games versus Punjab Kings. I mean, Shubman Gill, his 96 was sublime, following on from his 86 that he scored last week against Delhi.
He's coming good. He's looking good. He's picking length. He looks like Rohit Sharma in some of those shots in the way he quickly picks the short ball and just dispatches. So it can be only good for Indian cricket for to have a good in-form Shubman Gill.
Exactly. I mean, we talked about this last week on Shubman Gill, and again he kind of almost continued from where he let off in that game. I was convinced that he was going to get 100, and that catch as well. Like, it felt like a tired shot, way outside the off stump. It was well wide, and he just didn't get it. Would have been nice for him to get 100, but even at that point, when and then David Miller came in, him and Hardik Pandya were trying to get, and then David Miller managed to get Hardik Pandya run out. I thought they'd lost the match, especially with 19 of needing of the final over and then 13 needed of the last three balls. I just didn't think they were going to win, but obviously Rahul Tewatia has done it
Yeah,
before.
I thought he was let into the batting crease by that overthrow of Odean Smith. I think somebody was saying you don't do it. I think it was the keeper or the captain said, just don't do it. And then Tewatia came into the batting. I only saw the highlights. Unfortunately, I couldn't catch up
No,
with
so I watched the game. I watched the game live, and this it was like, David Miller was struggling really, and that ball is like, he just hit it back to Odean Smith, and then Odean Smith got in his follow through, got the ball, and all he had to do was just go back to his mark. They would have needed 13 of two, even if Miller had hit two sixes, it would have only gone to a super over. But he just decided, and this is where, it's all about game awareness, isn't it? But in the heat of the moment, he just decided to throw and see if he could run out Tewatia. Tewatia just doesn't
But
like Punjab
nobody would
Kings.
expect you to, hit 2 6. I mean, I've seen a lot of, I mean, not a lot of games, at least two or three games. I remember going all the way back to Jawed Meander of Chetan Sharma
But
in
yeah,
Canada
but that was only
over.
one six of the last ball, Tewatia just, I think he's done this against the Punjab Kings previously when he was with RR. He just loves the Punjab bowlers, and taking them, it was just ridiculous. His batting of the last two balls. Liam Livingstone scored another 64. Not talking about Punjab, scored another 64. Actually, he was out. I say he was out. He was caught by Hardik Pandya. Took a good catch,
His foot
but
touched the, yeah,
when he
he
came
touched
back,
the
his
boundary
foot
ropes.
touched the run. So then Pandya decided. In general, I think the we talked about how whether the Indian players are kind of fatigued. It's the other way for Hardik Pandya. He seems to be really enjoying both the
That's
captaincy,
absolutely right.
and his bowling and batting. The last game, which we're just going to touch about, is the Gujarat Titans versus SRH, which just finished. And yes, Sunrisers won it, but again, Hardik Pandya got 50.
His shots were good. He took some the pace bowler Imran Malik.
Umran Malik, and I was, you brought him in nicely, and I was going to touch on Umran Malik, for a couple of things. Bowling at 150 plus, even against CSK, I did tweet it while the game was going on, and today as well, at 150 plus, they must have seen something in him, because Umran Malik was one of the bowlers that they retained, actually. Williamson, Abdul Samad, and Umran Malik were the three players that they actually retained. So he's retraining for that. I hope, he at some point he does get to play for India. I mean, bowling 150 plus is something special.
It is definitely special, but on that point, whether accuracy is slightly more needed than pace is one thing that I always felt that people are, I mean, at least when he was bowling, there was was it Sai Sudarshan? No, I'll tell you in a minute. But Umran Malik went for 39 runs with one wicket. You could say, yeah, it's good, but I know that some of those batters were moving out of the line and just nicking it, just I think it becomes slightly difficult to, contain runs, especially. I think it in an ODI situation or a test match situation, pure pace was good. And I clearly remember one of the short balls he bowled to
Yeah, I think
this
it was the
game.
Manohar, Abhinav
Yeah, he bowled it. He was intimidated. I think he got four byes, but
Yeah.
it was a deadly short ball in a test match situation. Whereas in an ODI, the batter next moved and just edged him to four. And so you.
I agree, but the other side I will probably give you was like, they've got he's got Dale Steyn as a coach in
Yeah.
Sunrisers, so yes, he's got
He's
pace,
good.
and I'm sure somebody like a Dale Steyn could polish him.
Yeah, he's only
So,
going to get better.
yeah.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting. So there's a couple of I think there was one he bowled to Hardik that went for five wides.
Yeah.
Another one, when Pandya just got his bat on and it went for four. Yeah, it does. But if you can get him right, and that sort of pace in test bowling. I mean, we've seen Mark Wood do it for England. So India having going abroad and bowling opposition with 150. Imagine him in Australia and getting 150 rockets under Australia's noses.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that would be good. The one thing I want to mention was Kane Williamson's innings today. That composure, you see, like he's playing a test match. The shots and the general demeanor and calmness with which, but he's managed to win them the game. He would have wanted to stay till the end, but he did
Yeah.
play his part, and I think 57 of 46 is really good. Four sixes in that.
So anyway, that kind of pretty much wraps up all of our games
Yep.
for this week. As we mentioned, the table, it as it stands at the minute: Rajasthan Royals, KKR, RCB, and Lucknow, the top four with 6 points each. Gujarat, the next, and Delhi Capitals, 6 and 4 points, but. The top four, the top five, in fact, all of them 6 points and literally separated by net run rate. In by the end of next week, I mean, most teams kind of have a couple of games. CSK play the derby against RCB tomorrow.
Yeah.
Faf du Plessis comes back, probably to haunt CSK. I can't see where CSK are going to get a win, but we'll see. And then the other team they're playing is Gujarat Titans. So it's a difficult two games for CSK this week. MI have got Punjab and Lucknow. It's all of the games are. It does feel like, definitely for CSK, MI is going to be a difficult week this week. But then the other games, as I think, the first week. Or the week after, we said it just quite doesn't feel. The IPL now literally feels like, yes, it's getting hotter,
Well and truly on, yeah.
well and truly on. Definitely, like, as the matches this week will be quite interesting and fascinating to watch, how the table shapes out after this week. I think it'll be fairly clear at the end of this week who the laggards, the ones that are not going to make the playoff. There's probably going to be five or six teams that are going to be trying to get into the top four. That will probably go down to the wire. Hopefully, we'll look at in the next week or so to see how it shapes up. Anyway, that's pretty much a wrap for us on the podcast this week. Do subscribe to us on any of the podcast apps that you get this from, and then follow us on Twitter on Yellow and Blues, and we can leave your reviews and ratings. Until the next week, speak to you soon. Have a good week.